Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. You're in the breakfast huddle. It's Tuesday morning. You're here with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It's time for the bigger picture. And it's a bigger conversation, I think, about the banking industry this week.
That's right. So with prospects of the Singapore economy reopening, will that be good news for banks, especially when you think about how they have been bracing for the worst as the pandemic unfolded and restricted business activities and spending? So next week, we will get the local banks with their quarterly numbers. To get a preview, we've got Harsh Modi. He's the co-head for Asia X Japan for Banks Research at JP Morgan. Morning, Harsh. How are you doing?
Very, very good. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Harsh. Glad to have you on. So let's walk through some of the top areas to focus on first. So let's start with rates. And we've heard that they will stay low for longer. The Fed has signaled that it will be near zero for at least 3 years. So talk to us about the pressure on NIMs, the net interest margins. What are we looking at when you look at the past few quarters and what's to come in the next few quarters?
Yeah, no, thanks for that. That is absolutely top of the mind discussion for investors, because not only has Fed reduced rates, but we have seen policymakers across ASEAN and Asia cutting rates. And all of this has an impact on the bank's ability to price loans. So we expect NIMs have come off. We expect NIMs to continue to come off for the rest of the year and kind of remain low in 2021. The thing with Singapore banks is their cost of funds is already low. So there is only limited ability to maneuver the cost of funds. And hence, we are expecting NIMs to come off, let's say, 10 to 12 basis points in next 3-6 months for most of the banks, and then stay low till at least 2021, if not good part of 22.
Yeah, so talking about the pricing of loans, what about the growth of the loans picture? Because if I look at some of the numbers in recent weeks, August loans growth fell for a third straight month, down 1%, and business loans fell for the first time in 4 years. So where is the support, if any, coming on the loans growth front?
Yeah, so there are two bits to it. One is on the demand and another is on the supply of credit. Yeah, the supply of credit is actually where the biggest changes happen, because when you have an asset quality problem where the economy starts doing a bit weaker, banks become risk averse. And we saw that. But also, funnily enough, this is the best time to start growing a book, because if banks can get good credit terms, they can get pretty good spreads at this point in time. And if they are able to lend, probably they are lending to the best borrowers in this time of the cycle. So what we have seen is the first round of response, which is contraction plus activity contract. So even the credit demand goes down. Now we are getting to a phase as activity is rebounding, may not be in the September quarter, but the December quarter onwards, and even in the September quarter results, banks should guide for a slight but definite pickup in credit demand in certain places, especially related to working capital, and in some rare cases also for investment demand.
Yeah, so Harsh, we talked about the demand for borrowing money. How about the ability to pay back? Because businesses have been under stress for quite some time. What is the outlook for non-performing loans? Are you expecting banks to once again put aside money as much as they did in the first half of the year for non-performing loans?
Yes, no. Provisions, you're absolutely right. Provisions will remain high. Now, will it be to the same extent as first half? Probably not, because what we have seen is in first half of the year, banks took a very conservative view and front-loaded a lot of provisions. Don't expect same degree in second half, but yes, the trend will continue. But the good news is what we expected, the kind of outlook we feared, let's say sometime in May, June, July, at the depth of circuit breaker, Singapore has done much better. The rebound in activity, you see, we already have started getting jams, restaurant bookings are all chock-a-block, and so on and so forth. So activity is very close to normal, except for travel, and that is showing up in banks' ability to collect. So what we will see is asset quality, if not right away, the guidance on asset quality will become way more constructive in the September quarter results. And that, I think, is the single largest reason why we have seen some of the bank stocks performing well in last 3 to 4 weeks.
Right, by checking with Harsh Modi, he's the co-head for Asia ex Japan for banks research at JP Morgan. Now, Harsh, I'm getting a sense that the worst is over for banks, and you've got this picture where you've potentially got a phase three reopening by the end of the year. So rising economic activity, even bank branches reopening and giving more services. What are the bright spots when you think about banks in terms of wealth management? Is that going to be a strong support in the quarters to come?
Actually, wealth management has already held up very well. My one of my biggest positive surprise was wealth management holding up quite well, even in March quarter. Now, a lot of it has been two things. One is the kind of wealth that Singapore banks manage. A lot of it is the lower risk kind. Mm. So you didn't have a lot of volatility. A lot of it sits in deposits. And even if we see the AUM number, the net new money flow, partly because of market activity, partly because of other shifts happening around, Singapore banks have benefited quite significantly. And that's a secular trend. Expect that to continue, because even when the most volatile phase of the market, if a banking institution is able to navigate, then it positions them very well. And all the three Singapore banks, to varying degrees, have been able to do that.
Yeah, Harsh, and you think about the IPOs that have been in the news these weeks, the Ant Group IPO, the BTS or Big Hit Entertainment IPO. Is that reflective of how there's a pickup in market appetite and that in turn lead to a potential support for trading income?
See, it's a pretty straightforward phenomena. Whenever markets do well, you end up getting more companies tapping the market for funding. This is not very different. To me, the big point about the bank's trading income is, yes, you're absolutely right that equity market activity helps. But what helps even more is the fact that banks have a very big, tend to have very big fixed income book. And the kind of regulatory support we got in March, April, and that allowed the functioning of some of these high yield markets to be steady over that very tough phase, that has led to a significant amount of gains for banks in Singapore and globally. So to me, that probably is the genesis of a lot of positive moves we have seen in the last 6-8 months. So yes, we probably won't get a repeat of those kind of activity in the next 3-6 months. But yes, generally, the trend is for asset markets to remain reasonably resilient in next 3-6 months, which is good for banks' fee and brokerage and broadly treasury activities.
And Harsh, just to wrap things up quickly, what are you looking at in terms of medium-term banking mega trends? We think about global supply chains being changed and disrupted. There's a shift towards becoming more digital. How does that all feed into the outlook for banks?
Oh, very good. In fact, Singapore banks have been way ahead of the curve in terms of digital adoption, which in my mind is by and far the single largest positive. We are already moved. We have already moved into open API, open banking, potentially next. So there are a lot of trends. Everything to do with technology, because technology happens to be the smartest way of delivering banking. And Singapore banks have been ahead of the curve, so quite positive on their ability to navigate and in fact benefit from the trends.
All right, we're checking with Harsh Modi. He's the co-head for Asia ex Japan for banks research at JP Morgan. Harsh, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.